Carol Cotter is our multilingual language educator, and she is Bondi Tunes.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting from Sydney in Australia. I'm Henry on Bondi Beach, where the time is 25 past 7, which means it's 25 past 9, where I'm joined by Carol Cotter, who is our language educator. She joins me from southern Spain. Hey, Carol, how you doing?
Hi, Henry. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, that's what I'm saying on air anyway.
We'll stick to that then.
It's funny, another correspondent that I spoke to this week, Ronan Seagrave, said, how are you? I said, well, I'm fine, but that's what I'm saying on air, because we've had 36 degrees Celsius here 2 days ago, and I still haven't got over it. I just want to mention to our listeners that I interviewed your mother, Bernie Jemison, who I'm not going to call her a veteran broadcaster, because that makes her sound old, but herself and myself worked on the great Radio Nova in Ireland back in the 1980s, and for the first time in just a little bit over 30 years, I interviewed her again from Dublin, where she works on the new Radio Nova and, of course, 4FM. Right, Carol, 3 months ago, we did part one of Zero Waste, and it's taken 3 months for us to get to the next part of this. Just for our listeners who may not have heard the first version of, part one of this, what is Zero Waste, briefly?
Zero waste means designing and managing products and processes to systematically avoid and eliminate the volume and toxicity of waste and materials. So it's basically a bit of a mouthy
I was going to say, put that in English. Like
basically, it means leaving as little waste as possible, or zero waste, trying to, you know, instead of just recycling things, just trying not to let anything get to the landfill or to the incinerator as much as is possible and practicable.
And we made the point in that interview 3 months ago, in the first part, is that reuse is actually better than recycling, because, well, it says it. You know, reusing is better than actually going through the whole process of recycling.
It is, because the process of recycling takes up a lot of energy. You know, even if you're still using the same plastic or glass at the end and nothing new has to be created, the amount of energy and water and time and effort and everything put into
creating the new product.
It's actually expensive.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go through some of the stuff we talked about last time. Shopping.
Shopping. Yes, we mentioned that, you know, just control yourself in the supermarket. Buy what you need. Don't get carried away with all of the deals of buying things that you're never going to eat or use. Try to choose things that have less packaging. Bring your own bags to the supermarket. Don't always be getting the plastic bags. I think you have to pay for them nearly everywhere now anyway. So it's a better idea to bring your own bigger, stronger bags anyway.
Okay, so you've got, you know, clothes, and we mentioned actually in the last interview about the amount of money teenagers and people in their early 20s spend on clothes that they throw out after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wear it once or twice and then throw it out because it's not in fashion anymore. Fashion is changing so rapidly these days. Instead of just two seasons, we have like a new trend every week or month. And it's all just to squeeze more money out of us, of course.
But Carol, wouldn't you think that kids of these ages, you know, 20s or even teens, would be taught in school much more than, let's say, I was back in the 1970s when I was in school? Wouldn't they be more aware of this, or is this all media stuff, just media, all these advertising campaigns to make them keep buying stuff, you know?
Yeah, you've got like two very different contradictory influences. You know, there is more awareness and more teaching about stuff like that in school, but you know, when you're a teenager, it's just, you just it's just not cool.
Yeah, and that's
you just want your clothes, and that's it.
I reckon, you know what I reckon, Carol Cotter? I reckon social media's got a lot to do with this, because if you look at these kids, in their teens or early 20s, they have these selfies, and it's all about makeup. It's all about what they're wearing. It has to be what they bought, 5 days ago in the local shop. Let's talk about water.
Just one thing on the social media. I think it is kind of becoming more cooler now than it was in the past to be sustainable. So I think that's kind of where how things have to change. Instead of like forcing it on people, it has to be an attractive option for people and even young people to say, hey, sustainable clothes, nice. I'm going to go for those.
So trendy.
Think it is changing because, instead of being the boring option, it's becoming a more exciting, attractive option now. Mm. And just one thing I'll mention, there's a really useful YouTube channel when it comes to sustainable fashion. There's a fashion designer called Justine Leconte. She does a lot of videos about how to choose good clothing that is made with quality material. And she gives a couple of points on how to figure out when your clothes are made of cheap material or material cut the wrong way because they're saving money. Like, for example, you know the seams of a T-shirt down at the sides? You know the way when you buy a cheap T-shirt and you wash it, like a lot of times the seams kind of move. Like when you're folding the T-shirt, it's like they're not straight anymore. That's a telltale sign of cheap material, apparently. I learned that from Justine. But it's a really great channel. It shows like a lot of ways to choose sustainable clothing over cheap crap that's not going to last you the years.
So there's some awareness of that. We talked last time about a New South Wales town here in New South Wales in Australia where they banned bottled water. This is what we mentioned, and we'll briefly go over this again. What's happened is bottled water is actually, here in Sydney we've got some of the best water in the world coming out of our taps. Why buy bottled water? A friend of mine came over from the UK and he bought a big bottle of water and put it in my fridge and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "It's okay because I'm going to drink this water and then I'm going to fill it up with the tap water," which is a smart move. So that bottle is still in my fridge 9 months later. That was smart, but how damaging.
So when he comes back.
Yes, it'll still be there and you won't need to buy it from the shop, the amount of bottles being thrown into waste that cannot be recycled, Carol. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, it's a disaster when you think about the amount of people, the amount of water bottles. I think it's a good move. If you're going to have bottles, at least maybe make them glass. Or I know glass isn't always rational when you're out and about. You don't want something heavy. You don't want it to break. Mm. That's why I use a stainless steel bottle. And it's fantastic. It's very lightweight, very durable. It's just a little bit heavier than the plastic bottle.
Yeah, actually. But it's not like you're hiking, the Himalayas or anything. You just been out for a walk.
Yeah, usually I don't fill up completely, just put a little bit of water, just the necessary amount so that I don't have to buy a plastic bottle when I'm out and about.
And we also talked about composting mealworms, which I found very interesting because I'd never heard, myself and the girlfriend, we had a worm farm some years ago and it's still existing in her family home. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. What are mealworms? Tell us what they're about.
Well, mealworms are, I don't give all my compost to the mealworms because that would be too much. I don't have that many. But the mealworms are there for my birds. I grow them to feed my birds.
So you're actually, this is very interesting that you're doing this, Carol Cotter. And if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Carol Cotter, our correspondent in southern Spain, about zero waste. You're actually putting worms to murder, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Not all of them. We have an agreement. I say to them, grow as fast as you can. And if any of you reach the cocoon stage, that's it. Take care of you for the rest of your life. Because when they go into cocoon, then they later turn into a beetle. And, I just let them live then.
That's very nice of you.
Yeah, I keep them. I can't set them free because they're not... they wouldn't survive.
No, I hear you. I understand.
You want a bit of a happy part in the story. No, all of them end up being murdered.
I'm glad to hear that. Sort of ended this conversation last time on the personal aspect, cleaning, shampoo, conditioners, soap, bicarb, deodorant, all that sort of stuff for your personal cleansing desires and needs. And you can do pretty well with getting as close to zero waste as you can with that, Carol.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very easy. When you think about it, like a lot of people, well, especially women, use tons of products on their skin. And, you know, as well as all the plastic bottles and waste that it produces, it's probably not the best idea to be putting hundreds of chemicals on top of you every day. Mm. So things that I do for cleaning myself are, well, for shampoo and conditioner, I have recently found that you can buy them in a bar form, like a bar of soap, but for your hair. And they work so well. In my opinion, they work better than any shampoo and conditioner I have used before. Mm. So I'm very impressed with that. And some people complain about the cost, but they actually last for a long time. Yeah. So in my opinion, it works out cheaper. They're about €9 or €10 for the bar. Not that much, really. Soap, just, you know, going back to basics with normal soap, not the soaps that you find nowadays in the supermarkets that have a pile of, chemicals, in my opinion, dodgy ingredients. Just going back to the way soap has been made for thousands of years, which is with lye, which, or caustic soda. Hmm. Don't try this at home. And you need to be an expert.
You actually have tried this at home, because we did a series on, you know, World War II rations. Am I right in remembering that you actually made your own soap, or am I wrong about that?
No, not exactly. I didn't make my own soap, like a bar of soap, because, well, you can. A lot of people do it. You just have to be very careful using gloves, and you have to get the ingredients exactly right, or the soap might end up burning your skin a bit when you use it. Because, you know, caustic soda, it's like very alkaline. And then you add it to oil, like olive oil or coconut oil. What I did was I made my own washing soda, which is when you get baking soda. Baking soda is good for cleaning, but it's not very strong. If you want something a bit stronger, get the baking soda, put it in the oven for half an hour at 210 degrees Celsius, 400 and something Fahrenheit. And then it changes through a chemical reaction into washing soda, which is much stronger, and you can use it to wash your clothes, which is what people used to do years ago.
And of course, back in the old days, and of course, this does harp back on your experiences spending some time pretending to be in World War II and having rationings. And that was a lovely show that we did on that. It was fascinating and so educational.
Happy times.
Happy times.
It was fun.
Do you think...
It was challenging.
It was. It was a huge project. Well,
do you remember my fridge stopped working?
That's right. I mean, you know, just like in World War
II. So it was even more realistic.
Just like in World War II. That was a lovely program we did on that. And you can get that on our website, bonditunes.com, bonditunes.com, and just look up, I've forgotten what I've called it, rationing or something. You can find it on the front page of the website anyway. Can I ask you, is it necessary for people to wash their hair with soap every day?
No, definitely. Well, if you have a very strange job, like if you
Working in
or a builder, or working cleaning out sewers.
Okay.
Or a farmer.
You know, I find this interesting because I wash my hair with water every day. I only wash my hair once a week with shampoo. And I just think this is all part of a sinister marketing campaign to keep selling stuff to people, Carol.
It is. It's like a vicious circle. It's really not necessary to wash so much. And we're like damaging ourselves as well by using so much detergent, because then it takes away your natural oils on your skin, and then you have to put them back with moisturizer, and then it gets a bit greasy, so you have to use detergent again. It really is a vicious circle.
Gosh, and the thing...
So you're doing the right thing.
Okay, thank you for that. I thought people might think I'm just a dirty kind of guy, you know, I don't wash enough. And
some people have stopped using shampoo completely. I don't know if you've seen it online. It's like the no poo movement.
Oh, I like that. The no poo movement? What's that about?
Yeah, you know, people stop using it. Some of them don't wash their hair at all. Some of them wash it just with water, with warm water, and do a massage thing to get rid of any dirt. Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to do that.
Why not? Why couldn't you do that?
I don't like the feeling.
Okay.
in my hair when I've gone like more than a few days without using shampoo.
Okay.
It actually gets itchy. Drives me crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that feeling actually. Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
You're scratching your hair and thinking, God, drives me crazy. Okay. Now let's go further. Wooden, and now we're going into new territory, dear listener. Wooden / bamboo toothbrush. Now, where do you get one of those?
There are a couple available online. I can't remember where I got mine. I bought it online anyway. So
well, just Google bamboo toothbrush. What are the advantages?
There are lots of companies.
What are the advantages to this?
Well, it's really just the same as a normal toothbrush, except it's not made of plastic. Because, you know, when you think about the amount of toothbrushes we use, and the plastic is just going to end up
in
the landfill.
That's the point. Exactly. And, of course, wood comes from the earth, unlike plastic, which, of course, everything comes from the earth in some form. But wood is going to get back into the earth much easier than plastic. Now, you mentioned beauty and makeup. Do you paint your face? Do you use makeup? Do you do that kind of thing, Carol?
I do indeed. Really? Not as much as I used to once upon a time.
I would not have thought that of you at all.
Well, I use very minimal amounts. And, you know, I think it really, again, it comes down to overall care, because I don't use a lot of products in general. For example, I don't use any moisturizer at all. So I just use oil, coconut oil on my body, and sunflower oil on my face, the cheapest oil. I don't know why, but it just works better. So I just sunflower oil.
You mentioned refills, and that's a very important point too, isn't it? Because you're not throwing away all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. You don't have to buy more bottles and containers and things like that. But the makeup I use is, I really like it because you only have to use a really tiny amount. It's I get it from a place called The All Natural Face. You can find them online easily.
Your bird is going nuts in the background.
Yes. Sorry about that. Maybe you might have to cut that out.
Bondi Tunes International is everywhere.
This is language educator Carol Cotter in Spain.
This is Don Drost in Orlando, Florida.
I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney.
This is Ling Pang, UK correspondent for Bondi Tunes International.
Declan Hughes in Dublin.
I am the political correspondent, Adam Devlin, in Melbourne.
I'm Joe Volta.
And I'm Paul Bull.
Reporting from Tasmania.
Ronan Seagrave in Canada.
It's entertainment reporter Rachel Branson in Melbourne.
I'm Lindsay Dolan for Bondi Tunes International in Dublin, Ireland.
Bondi Tunes International is everywhere.
They make mineral makeup, and it's vegan as well. So it's very, very good overall. And it's actually the best makeup I've ever used. I don't use that much of it. The only thing I really use every day is powder. And so it's made from mostly... I can't remember the ingredients, but it has zinc oxide in it, which is a natural sun protector.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Carol, because you live in southern Spain. You get a lot of sun. You're pretty fair by the looks of it to me. So your skin would be quite, I guess, sensitive to the sun. And I was just going to ask why you wear makeup. Is it because you want to be beautiful, or is it because protected from the sun? And, you know, give me an honest answer about this, okay?
Well, the reason really is just to look more normal.
You're using...
No, I have rather red cheeks. I only put the powder in specific, they're really very kind of doll-like at times, which really annoys me, because sometimes people see me and they're like, oh, you're like a doll.
Very interesting.
Which is rather irritating. But yeah, so I just use a little bit of powder just on my nose and cheeks to cover up the redness.
Okay. And that's I think that's very much an Irish thing, especially with men. Irish men have these big red cheeks.
So yeah, they don't only do powder, but they have a whole range of different types of makeup, and it really lasts a long time. They really use quality ingredients. Mm-hmm. So, and they offer refills, as I said. So with the powder, now all I have to do is buy a little tiny bag. It's plastic, but it's really, really, really tiny, like a little sachet. Buy about 30 grams every 2 years to refill my little powder container.
That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, saving a lot on... Well, money as well, but also any plastic packaging. When I think about years ago, you know, I was buying new makeup, foundation and powder and everything, all in plastic packaging every few months. So there's been a big change there.
Mm. And the T-shirt yarn or hair removal, I want to know about this.
Ah, yes. Well, they're two separate things.
Yeah, okay.
They don't go all together. T-shirt, reuse of material and T-shirt yarn. T-shirt yarn is, you know, when you have an old T-shirt, you can cut it up into strips. There's a method to do it so that it comes out all in one long line, like a ball of wool. But it's like really, it's thick. You can choose the thickness, but usually about 1 centimeter of thickness are the strips. And then if you pull it, it kind of curls around, so it changes it into like a thick piece of wool. Mm. And then you just knit with it like you would with wool or crochet.
That's fantastic. I love that idea.
Yeah, so I've made a couple of rugs and using this T-shirt yarn and what do you call those things that you use in the kitchen when the pan is hot and you need something to put it on?
Oh, mittens.
Those things.
Mittens.
They're not for my hands. They're just, I think mittens are for your...
Yeah, they are.
Well, the surface protectors, just call them.
Okay, that'll do.
On which to place the pans and pots that are, and plates that are too hot. So I use the material for that sort of thing as well. And then hair removal, which was in a separate thing, but still focusing on beauty and reusing things.
Yes, Carol, I realized that I put T-shirt yarn and hair removal in the one subject, and I was wrong to do that, clearly.
It sounds like an interesting process, T-shirt yarn
hair
removal.
Yeah, it could be dangerous.
Sounds a bit dodgy, yeah.
Tell us about the hair removal thing, because obviously, you know, men have nostril hair, and they can try and pull it out with their fingers hair.
Well, that's a zero waste way to do things, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're just very basic, sex, us men. So what kind of hair removal seems quite important for women. Tell me where this comes into the fore of zero waste.
Well, prepare yourself, because you might be a bit disturbed. First, I'll start with the normal thing that other people do. So I've seen a lot of zero waste people, like bloggers and vloggers, who use like a permanent razor to shave instead of the plastic disposable razors. Mm. And they say it works very well. And there are even some that the blades can be composted afterwards and they break down quite easily.
Wow.
So that's pretty
amazing.
Yeah. And another thing that people do is sugaring. I don't know if you've heard of that before. It's kind of like waxing. It's basically the same idea, but you can make it at home. You don't have to buy the wax. And you just use sugar and water and you boil it down and make it into a paste and spread it on your legs or under your arms and then rip it off when it's dry. Just like waxing. There are some small differences like the direction, I think, but I've never actually tried it myself. But apparently it works very well. Apparently it's better for your skin and leaves it very smooth.
Could a man do it in his face?
Yeah.
Really? I'm not going there.
Yeah, well, it'd probably be a bit painful, but I don't see why not.
Technically, it seems possible, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Although, well, you have to be careful with the skin on your face. You know, it's more delicate. You don't imagine.
And if it goes wrong, everyone sees it. Yeah, not good.
Yeah, maybe better stick to the razors, the permanent razors for your moustaches. Beards.
I think I just might do that. Although, you know, most young fellas have beards these days because it's trendy, don't you know? Right, now.
But my way of doing it is a little bit creepier. And I just use a tweezers.
Ah.
So I don't shave under my arms anymore. Sorry if it's TMI,
how
too painful, much information.
How
I just pluck the hair out with a tweezers. And I actually do the same for my legs as well.
How long does it take to do under your arms?
It took a long time the first time because it was painful the first time. And it was really unpleasant. But every time now it just gets easier and easier and it just takes a couple of minutes. Because I think, you know, when you keep plucking hair, it kind of stops growing so much.
Well,
I've had that experience with my eyebrows anyway, and I think many other women have the same experience. And those who have been waxing their legs for decades realize that they don't really need to wax that much anymore because hair just kind of gives up.
If you just joined us, I'm talking with Carol Cotter in southern Spain. She's our language expert. We're actually discussing zero waste, which is an ongoing thing for Carol. Very interesting that you find use what I mean, when you think about it, if you shave, the hair grows faster. If you pluck, it doesn't. And I think that's what you're kind of saying here.
Yeah, I think I think maybe the follicle gets damaged somehow.
Well, they get the root of it. It's a bit like, you know, getting the roots of plants coming out of the ground, you know. If you get the root, it's not going to grow back, at least not as fast.
Yeah, it takes longer to grow back, definitely. And then when they come back, it seems that there are a couple fewer each time. I don't know, I haven't measured or counted, but it gets easier each time and it's not painful anymore now, strangely. It's like, again, like with the eyebrows. The first time I plucked my eyebrows, really painful. And then after a few times, you know, you get used to it and it just doesn't. I'm sure you don't have this experience being a man, but I think it's the same for many women. The pain just goes away. It's just like, I don't know if you get used to it, if it's psychological or if something happens physiologically, but it's good. Anyway, the pain goes away.
Okay, well, I'm pleased to hear that. Now, let's talk about writing, Carol Cotter. You know, a lot of kids don't write much anymore. They learn to write at school, but then they spend, you know, the rest of the time using their thumb and their index finger on a mobile phone, mostly on a mobile phone, and really writing isn't a big thing for kids anymore. The only time they'll ever have to write in their life really is to sign their signature, and they'll do that on a piece of plastic connected to a network on a phone. Sorry?
Yes. No, I was just whimpering in sadness.
But it's true, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's funny, even I, you know, being 55, I think I'm 55 years old at this point, I've forgotten to write. I mean, sometimes I've got to write stuff on paper and I've forgotten to actually physically write because I spend so much time with technology. But these kids, they don't really, I mean, they have to learn how to write. They do, you know, their writing exercises in primary school.
Yeah, with the fountain pen. Do you remember? Copies with the lines.
And they don't have fountain pens either. They don't have to fill out an ink getting all over
their
hands.
Do they not? Well, I don't know.
I don't think they had
fountain pens when I was in school. We were only allowed to write with fountain pens until we got to secondary school.
Is that right? Oh, well, that certainly is not going on anywhere.
To control, is it not?
Of course, you were in Ireland, so I don't know what the situation was in the early 90s.
This was in the 90s. Yeah, the early 90s. A long time ago.
But, you know, you mentioned in your brief to me, pen, paper, Kindle.
Yes. What's the relation between these? Well, the pen, I was mentioning the pen because, you know, it's nice to go back to the fountain pen. And you're not, it depends on what kind of pen you have, but I've seen a lot of zero waste people who have refillable pens where they don't even have a plastic cartridge. It's one of those pens that can just be refilled with the ink directly into the pen.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? What about killing feels? Is there a time? What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping shore?
Thank you.
And
would you have what they used to call a quill? A quill where you just dip the pen into the quill with the stuff and you just sort of suck it into the pen. Is that the story?
Yeah, I do actually have those pens, but they're more... They have very fancy nibs, so they're more for fancy writing. I wouldn't, you know, do the shopping list with those, although I do have a couple of them. They're right. More for arty things. Yeah. But I also do have another more basic fountain pen that's just totally normal, and it can be used for normal everyday writing.
So and you do fill that up. You actually fill a kind of a chamber in that pen up.
No, my one is not. It's not that good. It has plastic cartridges.
Mm. But don't feel too guilty over that, okay?
No, I don't. I mean, it's just I would like to get one, a better quality one, and one that, you know, just doesn't have any plastic. Plastic cartridges are annoying, and it's difficult to find them.
Oh, is that right? It's difficult to find them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not, you know, when you walk into any shop and there are biros all over the place. And again, this is plastic that's just going to end up in the landfill forever.
Yes, and biros,
nearly,
I mean,
forever.
We've been using biros.
It's more difficult to just find something with a bit of ink.
And we've been using biros.
With a cartridge.
Since the 1960s, and God knows how many of them are in landfill as we speak.
I know, I imagine.
I just want to mention that in Japan... they have very strange ways of living in Japan. If you go to a toilet, people have these machines that make noise so people don't hear you going to the toilet. And this is because they're very conservative on one level and they're absolute crazy people on another level. They're just very conservative. They don't want you anyone to hear you going to the toilet. Now, you put to me...
just before moving on to the Kindle...
Yes.
If you have a Kindle, something I found out rather recently, well, a few months ago, you can actually save on paper because previously I used to have to print out a lot of pages because sometimes I have to check texts and translations and things like that. But if you have a Kindle, I suppose you can do it with other e-readers as well. You can actually send documents to your Kindle, like your own Word documents or PDF documents. It doesn't have to be a book that you buy online. You can send your own documents, which is very useful for me when I'm outside the house or not in front of the computer and I need to be checking things or taking notes or reading over something. Don't have to print it out anymore, so that's less
it's
paper
very smart.
Wasted.
I'm sorry, I'm going too fast for you, Carol Cotter, and I missed that part about the Kindle. The Kindle is a very interesting thing. There's a lot of people who prefer to read paper than the Kindle. And there's almost like this force of people who go, nah, I want a book where I turn the actual page. And with the Kindle, of course, when you turn the electronic page, it's got the sound of paper moving, which I find very amusing. But Kindle has got its positive side, I guess.
Mm-hmm, it does. I used to be one of those people who resisted the idea a bit. I just didn't like the look or the feel. But then you get used to it and, you know, they really do copy the look of the page quite well.
Yes,
if the light isn't on very strongly.
It is quite aesthetic. And the other thing to note about the Kindle is that you can read it in broad daylight. Now, our listeners will know that if you open up your laptop or even your phone and try and read something when the sun is shining, you got this reflection and you can't see properly. But the Kindle technology has done a marvelous thing in the sense that it just looks like paper and you can read it in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and in the darkness as well, you can adjust the light, the backlighting.
It's really smart.
So it's very useful. Yes.
Very smart.
And another thing is, you can read it in bed when you're lying down, and you don't have to get your hands into an awkward position to turn the page. You know the way, depending on what part you're in the book, like if you're at the end of the book, and then you're reading the right side page, the left side is so heavy that you have to use your hand. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, I know exactly what you mean.
And it's awkward and annoying. Mm.
So do you read a lot? Or?
Yes.
And the Kindle is your choice?
Yes, yeah, it is now. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, I'm just wondering about this because, what age are you, 30, 31 or something?
31, yeah.
31, okay. So you would prefer a Kindle than a traditional book, then, I'm guessing?
Well, that's a very definite statement. I don't know if I can agree with that.
Well, I'm a journalist.
They both have their advantages and disadvantages. Mm. I still, if it's a book that's, well, when it comes down to preferences, I think I would prefer to have the physical book.
Right, but circumstances mean that it's much easier for you, like when you're lying down in bed, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And to have in my bag, you know, it weighs nearly nothing. So,
That's a very good point, isn't it? You could have like 30 books in something that weighs like less than a quarter of a book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So I still do find the books, the original books, very charming, and especially if it's a book with information that you need to go back to and consult regularly. It's kind of hard. You can bookmark things in the Kindle, but I would prefer in that case to have it in a physical form and, you know, maybe leave bookmarks or turn the pages.
And of course, that's an aesthetic thing. Okay, we must move on. We were talking about Japanese toilets a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Why?
Why? You mentioned an interesting thing that they make sounds so that nobody hears people going to the toilet. I didn't know about that.
That makes sounds. But the thing is, you sent me a brief on this, and it just goes in brackets Japanese and toilet, and that's the first thing that came to mind because I thought that was hilarious. But why did you send me this?
Mysterious. Well, I have another like thing. Like a Japanese toilet, but without any nice sounds or anything like that. It's just like a bidet attachment to the toilet. Mm. So you've probably seen that the Japanese toilets being so advanced, they have like an automatic cleaner in the toilet for the person, not the toilet.
Is that right?
For your bottom.
A bidet, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and so it has like a... adjustments for the amount of water coming out, and there are some that you can get heated water and things like that.
Carol, how do they not win the Second World War?
They've got
all this great technology going on for the weirdest things.
I know, baffling.
Anyway, they got this bidet thing happening, and it's high tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like. It's cleaner, really. When I first heard of the idea, I found it really horrible. I thought it was disgusting. I was like, oh my God, how can people do that? That's really gross. And then I questioned myself and I was like, wait, why is that gross? That's like actually cleaner than using just paper instead of, you know, just... I think everything ends up cleaner if you're giving yourself shower.
You know. Of course, the angle is on zero waste and the angle is on using less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you end up using less paper. Cut down on paper completely, but using less, certainly, and end up being cleaner as well.
Mm, scary stuff. Now, we've got to move on because, again, we're running into 1 hour, which seems to happen every time we talk about this subject, which is not a bad thing, dear listener. Effects on your life, Carol Cotter, talking about zero waste. You've never really achieved zero waste. And you know, and it's almost impossible in this society. The last time we talked about 3 months ago, we actually talked about the fact that it's almost impossible to do this. You've been doing this probably for more than 3 months now, and you have continued it, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes, and I have not achieved perfection yet.
Well, you can't really,
there are people who, well, there are people who do really well. You know, I've seen them on the internet. They exist. I'm sure
they probably live in the Amazon, desert. They probably live there and they don't have a choice. You know what I mean? Those people on the internet.
Well, there are some people who are really good at it, but I think what helps them a lot is they live near a bulk supermarket, and that would really help me out if I could get one of those.
A what?
And a bulk supermarket is where you can buy in bulk instead of buying lots of little plastic packages. Mm. Like, for example, rice. I have to buy rice. I don't actually eat that much rice anymore. I was obsessed with it for a while, but I'm kind of over it now. But when I do buy rice, obviously it comes in 1 kilo packages and I have to buy it in plastic. It's not that much plastic, but it's still plastic. So the
thing about bulk, though, Carol Cotter, is you need space. You need space to buy in bulk. You need somewhere to store.
No. The new supermarkets that are popping up around the place now, it's not like you have to buy 20 kilos of rice in a sack like you would for a restaurant or a farm or something. They have like the containers there, and then you just like usually with a scoop or like a tap through which the stuff can come. And you have your own container, and you take the amount, like if you want 100 grams of rice instead of a kilo, you can get 100 grams and then you weigh it.
That's really smart. You've got a contract with them, basically, where you take what you want, when you want, and it's kind of bulk buying, but in small amounts each time.
No. Well, it's not a contract. You pay for what you buy.
Right.
So if you want, in a normal supermarket, you have to buy 1 kilo. You have to buy rice in 1 kilos. You can buy more than one, but it's always going to come in one kilo in the package.
Okay.
But with the bulk supermarkets, you take the amount, like buying fruit and veg in a fruit and veg shop. You know, you say
it's almost like
5 kilo of apples.
Yeah, we keep referring back to or at least I do, back to your story on the Second World War. Basically, you're getting what you want in small amounts. As you say, it's like back in the old days, you went to the grocers down the road to get what you want instead of having to buy more than you need at the time. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like going.
Took me a while to get there.
In a modern way, going back to the past.
Well, it is kind of way. Yeah.
Exactly what you need. And of course, you don't have to buy new containers every time because you bring in your own containers. And I think they have containers there for sale as well, you know, to make it easier if you come without anything in your bag. So that's really what I need. But there are none near me at the moment. But that would solve most of my problems, I think, because the problems that I have are things like tea. You know, the tea bags are probably biodegradable. It comes in a cardboard box, but then outside the cardboard box, there's a really fine layer of plastic.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I opened up a box of tea today and it had a fine layer of plastic. And it actually annoys me, the fact that you buy stuff and it's just so hard to... I mean, for legal reasons, they've got to wrap these products up really well so no one sues them if the products go off, blah, 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 blah. But it does annoy me. I mean, I would hate to be a very old person because I, as a 55-year-old, I find it really hard to open these things myself. They're so well packaged and so, you know, carefully packaged to stop any possibility of them going off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I understand that they need to do that and, you know, to stop bacteria and mold and creatures and things like that. But the other way would work perfectly fine as well if it's, you know, sealed properly in the shop or in the bulk shop where you're getting it, and then you take it into a clean jar. There shouldn't be any problem with bacteria either. But yeah, when it comes individually packaged, I understand that they have to do that. It's just a little bit annoying. And it's the same with things like seeds and nuts. Nuts not so much because you can buy them by 100 grams in shops near me. But packets of seeds always come in plastic. Yeast, I like yeast. It comes in plastic. Things for cleaning as well, like baking soda, bleach. So those are the problems, the issues. But apart from those negative things that are still holding me back, I have to say it has overall enriched my life because I think it has made me be more back to basics with food as well, you know, preparing food myself instead of buying it ready-made in plastic packages, which is healthier, cheaper, tastier in the end. Mm. And learning more things, learning how to do things like making washing soda.
Yes, indeed.
A couple of interesting things like that. And I think it makes you be more aware of ingredients in general, not only in food, but in beauty products and cleaning products as well. Just keeping an eye out for chemicals.
Mm. I just want to relay what you've written to me, the effects on your life, saving money, simpler buying for your products of higher quality, learning more creative things, saving time, better, more balanced outlook on life and what you really, in big letters, need. And that's a very good point, because a lot of people don't know what they really need as against what they want, because they've been manipulated by the media to say that they need what they actually want rather than what they need. It's fair to say that you can't blame people for being so confused. They go home from a busy day at work, they watch commercial television, they see these ads for all this commercial stuff, everything from KFC to other products that they don't actually need, but they really want them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's similar to what we were saying about the clothes, just keep buying. Mm. And the way they like emotionally manipulate people as well in some ads, like for air fresheners, like, oh my God, it would be so embarrassing if your house doesn't smell like flowers all the time. Oh my God.
That's just plain emotional blackmail in terms of, okay, you're going to look bad. It's a bit like, I sell wine on the phone for a living as part of what I do in my world. And it's interesting that a lot of people feel insecure if they are threatened by the fact that they're not getting the right product, or that their product looks bad in their home. And I think that's what you're saying. What if people have a smell they don't like?
I know. Shocking. And the neighbors come round.
And the neighbors come round unexpectedly asking for, some milk or sugar because they've run out. Okay, we've got.
Because they didn't have a bookstore nearby.
That's right. We're coming to the end of this conversation, another hour. Continuing problems, you mentioned tea, seeds, yeast, bleach in plastic bottles, the plastic packaging that arrives when you buy zero waste products. We've kind of covered that, haven't we?
Yeah, no, but it's even more annoying when it's not like just tea or for drinking or seeds, but when you buy something specifically to help you stop producing waste and it comes in plastic. Like I think my stainless steel bottle came wrapped in plastic.
I'm very impressed with your stainless steel bottle. I think that's pretty smart. But it's wrapped wonderful. In plastic. Hello.
Yeah.
See, that's all for legal.
A bit of paper there as well to balance it out, but that it was actually in plastic. So I thought that was kind of funny. Ironic.
Yeah, ironic is the word, yeah. Now, you've written Project in Progress Paper, which is interesting because paper has been around for a very long time. And I guess we're going to talk about that in the future, Carol.
We will. We will talk about it in the future because I don't really have anything exciting to say about it now. I want to try making my own paper. And you can do that by gathering up old paper, cutting it into pieces. And like
Is that like papier-mâché? Yeah,
basically, yes.
I did that.
But just in a flat shape.
Back when I was a child, I did that in the 1970s. We did exactly that. Added water, added other stuff, and made paper out of paper, basically.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. It seems like they knew how to do things properly in the past, and somehow we've gone down the wrong road and we have to go back.
We have to
the simple things.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And soap.
You know what, Carol? I think everything is cyclical. Mm-hmm. And we'll just keep going around in circles. It's been so good talking about this, and we will get back to you with regard to the paper thing, because I love that, because I actually have experience of doing that. Carol Cotter, thank you so much for joining us on Bondi Tunes once again.
Thank you, Henry. It's been delightful.
Thanks, Carol. This is for Carol Cotter, who lights up all our lives.
So many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me his song. So many dreams I kept deep inside me, alone in the dark, but now you've come along and you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. Rolling at sea, adrift on the water, could it be find me? I'm turning for home. Find me a chance to say, hey, I love you.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.